Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Mamo. Hey, what's up, Mac?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not much, man. You know, just a typical Sunday evening. We're going to talk sports, entertainment, and everything else. We're going to lead off with a little baseball as, the last month of baseball is about to, appear starting tomorrow. We'll talk about Mets and Yankees, how they did against, the Phillies and the Blue Jays, respectively. We'll also talk about football as, the preseason games just wrapped up between the Jets and the Giants, with separate teams, of course. And, of course, we'll talk a little NBA news. And last but not least, we're going to talk a little sports entertainment. So with that, let's just, open the phone lines. It's 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to let your voices be heard and sit back and enjoy the show. And with that in mind, let's talk Mets baseball. And as you know, Mets haven't been playing baseball well this season. But you know, against the Phillies, they've been whooping the Phillies behind. You know, they avoided being in last place. You know, had they lost, and they improved their record to 17-6 in their last 23 games against the Phillies. So, you know, their good play against the Phillies continues, and you know, they wrap up their series, and the Mets won by the final score of 6-5. Mejia, you know, he got his 21st save of the season after notching a career high 20th save on Friday. But then again, you know, this is his first year being a closer, so you know, basically everything is you know, unprecedented for his career. So congrats to him notching his 21st save. The big blow of the game was Anthony Record, the backup catcher, hitting a 3-run home run, and Delson Herrera, the rookie second baseman that just got called up on Friday, he knocked in his first RBI, which proved to be the game winner, because the Phillies would score run on Mejia in the ninth, so they needed that insurance run, and you know, Mets win the series 2 out of 3. And, you know, Mets are now looking to try to play, you know, for respectability because of Saturday's loss. They officially clinched that they will not win a 90-win season. They will not have a 90-win season this year yet again. Unlike what the Mets predicted before the season started. I believe it was Sandy Alderson, the GM, that predicted the Mets would have 90 wins, and that's clearly not going to happen because it's mathematically impossible now.
Yeah, they would need to win every game from here on out. Well, I mean, they can't. Anyway,
yeah.
Not that many games left to begin with.
Yeah, because best case scenario, if they win every single game, which we all know that's not going to happen, the best they can win is 89 games. So
right. Well, there's always next year.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, unfortunately, you know, Grandison, you know, Grandy can in Yankee Stadium, but the Grandy man can in Citi Field, man. The guy, he had some moments in the first half. I mean, he started off slow, got a little heat up a little bit, but he's been as cold as the North Pole in February. I mean, and another guy, David Wright, you know, the Captain America, man, the guy who's the leader of the Mets, you know, homegrown Met, man, he's having a horrible season, his worst season of his career. I mean, there's no excuse. I know
invisible this year.
Yeah, I know he's dealing with some shoulder injuries recently, but he's been absent the whole season at the plate, and that's the reason.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, what happened there?
You know, technical difficulties.
Okay.
You know the deal. But, yeah, you know, they got a rebound. You know, they're expecting, you know, they're still contemplating whether or not if their top pitching prospect, Noah Syndergaard, is going to make his Major League debut this year. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen because, he's been up and down, you know, in the AAA, so he hasn't been very consistent, so I don't think that's going to happen. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors, you know, Mets are going to try to, you know, retool this offseason and possibly trade, you know, some of their, you know, pitchers, you know, to try to improve this non-existent offense. Could possibly, depending on the trade, they might even trade Syndergaard or Cologne or, you know, G or Nice. You know? Depending on
Cologne is still with the Mets?
Yeah, he's still with the Mets. Yeah, today would be the deadline if he was traded.
I thought they put him on the waivers, didn't they?
Yeah, they put him on, like, unrecoverable waivers, something like that. But no team claimed them, you know, so he remains with the Mets. And he got the loss on Saturday. But other than that, he's pitched well, you know, all season, you know, for the most part. He's what 12 and 11 now, I believe, after the loss. I mean, he's pitched well, but you know he's set to make $11 million, and he's going to be 42. So Mets are very leery about keeping him,
right?
You know, in the off season. But we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Alderson will make the right moves because, man. It's true. Oh, 2006 seemed like a very long time. It was respectable. You know, they had a great regular season, and you know they were 1-1 away from going to the World Series. But seems like it doesn't even seem like 8 years ago. It seems like, man, it seems like 30 years ago. Shoot. And we haven't won the title, of course, since 86. So, I mean, that's almost 3 years in itself. So, hopefully they'll get their act together.
Yeah, a lot of changes need to be made on this Mets roster.
Most definitely. But shifting gears, to the Yankees. You know, Yankees lost these two consecutive games to the Blue Jays, and they fell earlier today, by the final score of 4-3. Jeter had a chance to tie the game in the ninth, but it wasn't meant to be. But I'll let you, you know, give your thoughts on the game, the series and this game.
Well, this was the final series of this seven-game road trip that the Yankees were on. Friday night against the Blue Jays, they won 6-3, capped by a two-run home run by Jacoby Ellsbury, who's been hot in the month of August. So Yankees won that game 6-3. And then yesterday, Pineda pitched for the Yankees, and he pitched really well. He's been pitching real well all year, really. But Yankees couldn't give him any run support, only managed to get one hit, no runs. And Blue Jays ended up winning that game yesterday 2-0. And today it was just a heartbreaker. Yankees got out to a 3-0 lead. But Brandon McCarthy couldn't hold on to that lead, and he gave up a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly home run to Melky Cabrera and Jose Bautista. I think that was, what inning was that? That was in the sixth inning. And then in an inning after that, he gave up another home run, and then we surrendered the lead for good, and we ended up losing this game 4-3. Like you said, Jeter had a chance to get the hit to tie the game, but unfortunately he grounded out, and the Yankees ended up losing this series. They ended up losing this series 2-1, and now they must go home now, and they just have to worry about winning, because right now they probably won't win the division because they're 7 games behind the Orioles right now in the division. In the wild card, I think they're about 5 games or so. In the second wild card, they're about 3.5 games behind Oakland and Detroit. So they have to aim for that second wild card spot. That's their best chance of making the postseason right now. So right now they're about 3.5 games, it looks like, behind Oakland. So that's their best chance at making the playoffs at the moment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, they gotta dust themselves off, you know, from losing the series, and, you know, basically try to continue to win series, or at least get back to their winning ways.
Yeah, and they've been playing real well this in the month of August. They played real well, but they got to turn it up a notch this upcoming September.
Oh, yeah. Or you could just get Reggie Jackson out of retirement. He does a lot of great things. Well,
that's October.
I know. A little over a month from now. Since it turns September 1st tomorrow.
And Yankees are 9 games behind the Orioles, so they're like far behind right now. So it doesn't look like they'll catch up.
Oh yeah.
Since that's the biggest division lead in the baseball right now. So.
Yeah, but as we all know, stranger things have happened in baseball. You know, with
that's true.
Leads.
That is true.
The Red Sox and the Red Sox and the Braves a few years ago. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Had big leads. And of course, unfortunately, the Mets in 07. But, you know, Mets, you know, they basically have to. I mean, not the Mets, what am I talking about?
The Yankees.
You know, the Yankees, you know, they have a shot to win this second wild card.
Yeah.
So. You just basically got to keep on, you know, winning series.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. But, you know, shifting gears, you know, let's talk, you know, NBA. And Rajon Rondo, you know, there's been rumors that he's going to get traded. And the most recent rumor is that he's going to get traded to the Kings. I don't know if you heard about that rumor.
Nah, this is first to me.
Yeah, and if he gets traded there, he's not gonna sign with them.
Mm.
You know, extension, because he doesn't want to go there.
Yeah, it looks like he wants to go to like a contender.
Oh yeah, you know how these players are. Back in the days, when even if a player didn't want to go to a team, they went to the team. And you never know. Like, I know I'm going to shift gears a little bit to baseball a little bit. Like, Keith Hernandez with the Mets in 83. He didn't want to go because, you know, the Mets were, you know, in last place in the division. You know, but whatchamacallit, people around the league was calling the Mets the Stems, you know, Mets backwards, you know. You know, because they're in the bottom, you know, they're at the bottom, but. You know, you never know. You got some leaders on the team, some promising talent. You never know. You could turn it around. But these guys, they don't want to build a team from bottom to first. They just want to form a big three everywhere. Mm-hmm. I wonder who I'm talking about. Talking about a guy from Akron, Ohio, maybe.
Yep.
You know, a lot of these guys, man. This is like the norm. You know, these guys, they don't have any loyalty to their franchises. They just want to leave and win a championship. I mean, don't get me wrong. Winning a championship is, you know, the most important thing in sports. But I say 1A is loyalty. You know, if your team is showing you some love and you got a good rapport with the fan base, I mean, you should try to end your career with there.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, you know. There are some owners who, you know, don't treat their players right. But then again, you know, you don't want your inmates running the asylum. You know, got to be a balance.
Exactly.
But, you know, we'll see what happened there, you know. Especially, it definitely affects the Knicks since, you know, we play Rajon Rondo, you know, a lot, you know, this upcoming season. And there was rumors last year that, you know, he might get traded here, you know, because Melo wanted to team up with him in New York. But I guess we'll see what happens with that. I definitely don't see Celtics trading with us. I mean, you know, we have so much bad blood between both franchises. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't think it would, but it's possible. You never know.
Only if we get fleeced in the deal, that would happen. Thank God we don't have Isaiah Thomas or Scott Layden, so maybe we won't get ripped off in the trade anymore. Well, who knows?
Yeah.
But speaking of the Knicks, you know, Shumpert recently talked about, he's trying to learn the triangle offense for the, upcoming season. And, we need that guy, I'm glad he didn't get traded.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to rebound and have a better season than he did last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about that. Because I'm glad, there was always rumors that, that those guys, him or Hardaway Jr. was going to get traded, because they want to cut down salary and stuff like that, for the upcoming season and beyond, with some potential free agents out there. But, I'm glad those two guys are there. They're still there. They're young guys. As long as they stay healthy, they should be a good team. They're not going to be a championship caliber team, like Melo brutally honestly admitted. But, hopefully they put the building blocks. What happened last year won't happen again.
It should be a better year this year, hopefully. Got Carmelo back.
Calderon's on the team.
Calderon, yeah. So we got some pieces, and J.R. Smith says he's going to have a better season than last year. And he's saying that he's the best shooter in the game. So we'll see if that proves to be true.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, me and you had a better season in the NBA, and we've never played. So the only way you could look is up. I mean, that season the Knicks had was horrible.
Yeah, they have to have a better year this year. So,
yeah,
new coach, new offense, and some new players.
Oh yeah, and hopefully Derek Fisher's influence around the league, being the player rep and a legend, winning 5 championships under Phil Jackson. Hopefully that'll translate to his rookie year, his upcoming rookie season as the Knicks head coach.
Mm.
But,
yeah.
Speaking of upcoming seasons, Jets and Giants, man, they both finish off their respective preseason. The Jets lost to Mark Sanchez and the Philadelphia Eagles 37-7. And, they're looking forward for the upcoming season where it really counts.
Yeah.
And they recently cut Stephen Hill, who they drafted with the 43rd pick a few years ago. So basically, Jets are trying to get back, bounce back and hopefully get to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, it should be an interesting season for the Jets to see if Vic will replace Geno Smith. I mean, right now it looks like Geno will start over Vic, but it'll be interesting as the season goes along to see what happens to that quarterback position.
Oh, no doubt about that. The whole world is watching that situation for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your Giants, they faced their former nemesis and the Jets, especially the Jets' nemesis, the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. They ended up winning that game, and Giants ended up going 5-0 in the preseason. But even though they went undefeated, still a lot of question marks, especially around the offense. Although it is a new offense that they've installed, still a lot of question marks. I mean, Eli Manning hasn't really looked that good in the preseason. Offensive line hasn't been giving him much protection. And, they're going to need to improve those things once the season starts. But the backups, they have a lot of good backups. I like Corey Washington, and Jernigan looks like he's going to be good. There's a lot of good players on this team right now. I think the Giants will have a good season. I'm looking forward to that Monday night game next week, I should say, against the Lions. Should be interesting.
And I know you're going to definitely check out Thursday night football, with the Seahawks.
I'm ready for football.
Yep.
It's like man's man sport.
It's like the old school ABC promo. Are you ready for some football?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I am ready.
And speaking of Monday night, of course, Raw is coming tomorrow, and Jericho is going to have his highlight reel tomorrow. He's going to be interviewing Randy Orton. And speaking of last week's Raw, you know, they opened up with the Raw Hall of Fame panel with Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, and Ric Flair. You know, it was a good segment, you know.
I thought it could have been better.
I thought it could have been better is if there was more of it.
Yeah.
I think the legend should have been featured a little bit more. They only had that one segment. John Cena had a brief but effective promo, basically saying that, you know, he didn't come to beat, you know, Brock Lesnar. He came to, you know, beat his, you know, behind, basically. And, you know, that was an effective promo. And then Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, you know, as usual, you know, they delivered an effective promo, basically telling Cena, you know, it was offensive that he's gonna, you know, use his rematch to challenge Brock Lesnar at the Night of Champions next month. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how far will John Cena go to beat Brock Lesnar and regain the title. Should be interesting to watch.
It will be.
Will he go word life? Or at least close to that level to beat him? I guess
I think Lesnar will hold on to the title until WrestleMania, maybe.
It's possible. It's very possible. Because Brock Lesnar doesn't look like it doesn't look realistic that anybody could beat him right now.
Yeah.
I mean he beat Undertaker at WrestleMania, snapping the undefeated streak, and he beat John Cena, the worst beating John Cena ever had in his life. I mean,
oh yeah.
That was like the worst beat down in a championship match. I mean, this one even makes Diesel versus Bob Backlund seem like an Iron Man match, even though that match only lasted like 6 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, the domination of Brock Lesnar on Cena, I mean, it was...
Whooped ass.
It was unbelievable. I mean, Undertaker put up a bigger fight than Cena did.
Yeah, it was a whooped ass.
It was. I mean, wow. I mean, I'm still shocked. I mean, we all know WWE is scripted, but that was a beatdown. That was a straight up beatdown.
Yeah,
no doubt about that.
Suplex slam.
Suplex slam. That's what they should have called it. That's what WWE SummerSlam 2014 is going to be always remembered as. The Super Slam.
And I think that was the first win that Lesnar has against Cena, because Cena has beat him twice already, right? Or a few times already.
That's a good question, because from recent history, yeah, that would be the first time, but they've fought many times back in the days during the Word Life days.
Yeah.
Cena, you know, back when Cena's, you know, attitude adjustment was called the FU, and that was when Brock Lesnar and Cena were both starting out in WWE. So, you know, they've had some fights before, but it's been the first time in, like, a decade or so since they fought.
Didn't they fight, like, 2 years ago?
They fought in 2012.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, before that time, you know, that was, like, the first time in, like a decade since they fought, you know, 2 years ago. In the Extreme Rules. I mean, Brock Lesnar beat up Cena, bloodied him, but, you know, Cena got the win.
Yeah.
But Cena, I mean, this one, he really got beat up. I mean, he didn't even bleed, but as hard as that sounds, this beatdown was even worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. And you got any last word you'd like to say?
Well, everyone have a good Labor Day, and check out my show IMAX, Saturdays 11. Check out this show, Sports and Religion, Sunday 6.
You're the guy. You know, happy, enjoy your Labor Day, everybody. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace. I'm William Ramo. That was Mo Calling Matthew. I'll see you guys.